now we're going to move on to a bit of art, and we've got Jason Smith, and he's from the Geelong Gallery on the line. G'day, Jason. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, Annie. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. And it's given me an opportunity to find out much more about Mandy Martin and A Persistent Vision, which is indeed a good title for this particular exhibition. Do you want to tell my listeners a little bit more about this?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Annie. Yeah, look, from November we are presenting for the sort of full summer a small survey of the work of Mandy Martin, who was born in Adelaide in 1952 and she died in 2021. And she came to prominence. She's an artist who I had known and worked with since I was 17 years old. So we had a sort of 37, 38 year friendship. She was a major feminist, very politically charged artist who emerged in the mid 1970s in Adelaide. With a leftist collective called the Progressive Art Movement in Adelaide, and she came to prominence with very stinging political posters and prints that, you know, looked at the economic status of the worker and national industries and American imperialism, etc. And she was part of a group including other really important artists like Annie Newmarch and Robert Boynes and others, but it was a really strong political movement. They went into factories, they went into workplaces, they looked at the status of women, women's rights, you know, gender politics, etc. So it was a part of a huge flowering of political posters in the 1970s. And Mandy became very prominent. And she then had a 40-year career that was really based on looking at, you know, industrial colonisation, what industry images of industry did to our landscape, you know, to the quality of our air, to our waterways, etc. So she was a really fiercely intelligent, very interesting artist, and she just sort of struck a chord in the 70s and the 80s, and she rose to real prominence, you know, for pictures of factories and, you know, sort of powerhouses in the landscape, etc. So it's going to be a really interesting exhibition to put together.
So this exhibition, and then later in her life, that of course led to her well, there's a really interesting way it was described in the release, which was that commitment through her painting and associated writings to the environment, which is, you know, it's like she was having a conversation with the environment in the later part of her life.
All the way, exactly. I mean, after she stopped making very overt political posters with, you know, pictures of politicians and captains of industry in them, the human figure kind of disappeared from her work. But she moved from Adelaide to Queanbeyan and into Canberra, and she struck on the image of the sawtooth factory, and the sawtooth factory and the powerhouse, you know, the power generating powerhouse that we see in places like the Trobe Valley and down at Anglesey. They became real symbols for environmental degradation. And these are pictures that she made in the early 1980s, and they really set her on a path. You know, she journeyed into lots of different landscapes to look at environmental fragility and to look at the impact of, you know, our European-centered cultures on, you know, Indigenous homelands, for instance, and the sort of disruption to Indigenous cultural systems. But then, yes, all the way through her work, she had a very striking, strident, you know, active conversation with environmental politics and worked alongside, you know, environmentalists and, you know, farmers and bush heritage people. You know, she lived for the last 25 years of her life in central west of New South Wales and quite close to the vast Cadia gold mine. And so she had opportunity to critique, you know, sort of minerals extraction and what that did to the environment.
And so let's go back to her. This exhibition's going to go through her career. Is that right?
Yes. Look, we've got about 45 works in the show, and it does start with one of her earliest prints from 1974, 75. And then we go all the way through to a major work that Geelong Gallery commissioned from her and some collaborating artists, Alexander Boynes and Tristan Parr, in 2017, which is a huge work looking at the Shell refinery and the ice caps. But we go right back to her political posters, her political prints from the early, for the mid-1970s, yes.
Yeah, right. And so if we go fast forward, you know, closer to her passing, she made massively big pieces, didn't she, in oils?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mandy, look, I mean, she loved paint and she loved moving it around huge canvases. She did make vastly scaled works. I mean, the most vast work of Mandy's we see on television very frequently, her 12-metre-long painting called Red Ochre Cove, which is in the main committee room of Parliament House in Canberra. And often when we see committees in that room, they'll pan down from that huge painting with a shaft of light. She was a prolific worker, and one of the things that we talk about in this exhibition is Mandy's incessant drawing and sketchbooks. And, you know, she worked on a very small scale and sort of did lots of studies and sketches, but then she would work them up into these vast panoramic, you know, sometimes 3 metre by 6 metre, you know, paintings of landscapes. But she drew from all over, you know, sort of she worked a lot in South Australia, up in Queensland, throughout New South Wales, drawing trips to, you know, quite fragile environments. Mm. And she was a brilliant technician, and she had extraordinary, she was a great draftsperson. So she had great drawing skills that she then translated into these, you know, really quite big, atmospheric, very powerful, brooding paintings that were comments on the environment and on its fragility, yeah.
Mm. And the thing is, too, that she is represented in possibly all of the major galleries in Australia, I imagine.
Oh, she is. I mean, Mandy Martin was a highly influential artist. I mean, there's a lot. When she produced her political prints in the 1970s, they attracted criticism. You know, I mean, critical acclaim. You know, people, she was regarded as an artist who had something to say. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a sniffle this morning. She was regarded as an artist who had something to say. And you know, there was a political dimension to her work, so she attracted, you know, attention, and she also attracted the attention of curators and collections. And she found herself in the mid 1980s, very much at the centre of a renewal in Australian painting of a particular form of expressionism and really tough painting that sort of evoked, you know, urgent expressionism about tough ideas, and particularly the work of women and a whole range of men. But she rose to prominence, and she stayed there. And so she is represented in, you know, in all state collections in Australia, many regional collections, and in the Guggenheim in New York, and various museums in the US. So she's well represented around the country and indeed internationally.
And we're lucky that there's going to be this exhibition starting November the 5th at the Geelong Gallery. So give us the practicalities.
So this is we are in terms of the practicalities, we're open 7 days a week, and the exhibition will be on display from the 5th of November, and it's running through until February 2023. And people will see a range of prints, drawings and paintings from Mandy across this 40-year period. And what it's a partial view, because we tell the industrial story of her work, you know, the factories and the powerhouses and some big panoramic landscapes. And it's her gift to us. I worked closely with her before she died, and she gave Geelong Gallery 67 works that represent her career, but also that reflect the fact that Geelong Gallery has an enormous and very important collection of Australian printmaking. And she was a major printmaker. She taught at the Canberra School of Art for many years in printmaking and influenced a whole lot of important artists and filmmakers. So this is her wonderfully generous gift to the people of Geelong.
She actually sat down with you and worked it out before she died.
Yeah, we went. I visited her 3 times in her studio. I mean, as I said, we were friends and professional associates for, you know, almost 4 decades. And But I spent, when it was clear that she was going to pass away, she decided to begin putting her affairs in order. And she worked with a number of different curators from different institutions to put together parcels of work that were right for those collections. And so we worked together over 3 days to select this group of 67 things from her archives and from her collection that she had left that she thought would be good for Geelong.
Well, that's just marvellous, Jason. Thanks for telling us about this. This is really interesting.
Well, I really hope people take the trek down to Geelong to see it because, you know, she was an artist with really powerful messages about, you know, the world at large. And, you know, she was a very sort of generous, democratic person, and her messages, particularly around sort of, you know, the status of the worker, as I said before, but also our environment, they're very important messages. She was saying them in the 1970s and we're still saying them today.
Thanks, mate. Have a good day.
See you soon, Annie.